Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Yeah, we're an evening show again this week, and it looks like our morning media availabilities are going to continue. I thought once we got into school that perhaps we would do them post-practice. I'm not complaining, but it does make me a little bit later getting the show. But also, too, I wanted to I got notification from Arizona State that Kenny Dillingham was meeting with the media today. So I wanted to get that done. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Jeff Lebby had to say. We're going to talk a little bit about what Kenny Dillingham, the head coach at Arizona State, had to say today. And then also, of course, we'll recap the game. Got a great top 10 list for you in honor of Labor Day. I had some people reach out to me and say, Steve, is there a show today? Well, of course there's a show today. Of course there's a show today. We don't take holidays. We don't take days off. We may move a show around every now and again, but you're going to get 3 shows every single week, including Labor Day. Labor Day is just another day to me, right? I mean, I've got a pool, but, the spa's open. And you need to come float if you hadn't already. 662-268-7601. It might just cure what ails you. It might help you too. But, we're open 365 days a year at spa. JeansPage.com, open 365 days a year. And it helps when you love what you do, right? It really does. And I had some people ask me, hey, are you guys going to Arizona State? Well, you're darn tootin' we are. Mississippi State's going to Arizona State, so yes, we're going to Arizona State too. It's kind of interesting to me that people would ask that question. We cover every Mississippi State football game, home or away, regardless of destination. Matter of fact, we're sending 2 reporters. We cover every Mississippi State baseball game, home or away, and we covered just about every Mississippi State road game of men's basketball last year. Didn't do much on the women's side. We hope to do a little more this year. But, some of that's a network decision, which is unfortunate, but it's part of it. We get out and go, man. It is – here's the thing, too. Guys, not only do I love Mississippi State, and I absolutely do. I love all of you. And when I think about what do you deserve? Well, I think you deserve the best. I think Mississippi State deserves the best. And so if we don't go to Jeff Lebby's post-game press conference, who is going to be there to ask questions? The Arizona State guys, are they going to ask a question that you guys find of interest? Chances are probably not, because they're asking about, to get a quote for their column about Arizona State. And so if we don't go, is there even any point in having a post-game press conference? Well, they'll have one, but you may have, the university may have some student workers or people in media relations that ask the questions, but let's be honest about that. I mean, how many times in baseball have I had somebody say, hey, when are we going to get to the real questions? I mean, all due respect, but do you think somebody employed by the university is going to ask Jeff Lebby about a big decision that may have determined the game bad or good? No. This is not a hobby for us. This is a job, but it's also a passion for us. And I don't know how long all this is going to last. I mean, you know, hey, you know, our website's doing great. Matter of fact, you can come join and be a member right now for 75% off the annual subscription. That's going to end at 11 o'clock Central Tuesday night. So you got, I don't know, a day and a half or so, something about like that, to take advantage of that. It's our best deal ever, and very fortunate to be able to offer that to you. But the reality of it is this, is that, you know, we did not become this big Mississippi State website. We did not become so successful by sitting home. That's the truth. There has to be authenticity with what you do. And what kind of person would I be to sit at home, just like you, and just go type up a story based on the same game that you watched? I mean, there's a responsibility on behalf of the media to be there and be a part of all this. There's sometimes in baseball, you know, and I absolutely hate it. I hate it. There's been some times over the years, like we couldn't get to Arlington back in 21 because of the weather. And so we had to cover the game on Flow Sports. And of course, thankfully they did a Zoom post-game call for us. We couldn't be there. It's our responsibility to be there. We owe that to you. We owe it to the players, the coaches. We owe it to Mississippi State. And so, yes, I'm not just flying out to Tempe to go eat tacos. I'm going to cover a ball game. I got a responsibility. And, listen, I can't speak for anybody else. But I know this. I know this is the era in which I live in. And this is the era in which I work in. And so we want to set the bar so incredibly high in hopes that the people that succeed us down the road will follow that example and say, hey, this is what you do when you cover Mississippi State. I can't count how many times people within our industry, people within my own network, say, I can't believe the number of articles you guys do on a daily basis. We do about 10 a day. I think we did 24 after the game, between Saturday and Sunday, 24 articles about the game in some respect or another. And so I share that with you because, you know, I remember the days years ago, you know, when I was just kind of a recruiting guy at Gene's Page, and I do a little team stuff every now and again. You know, we'd do three or four stories. We feel like that was a big day. Man, if we don't do 10 a day, man, the old boss man gets a little bit cantankerous. I do. I tell my guys all the time, listen, I'm going to probably do about three a day. I need the rest of you guys to pitch in seven or more. Because this is what you deserve. Yeah, if you're looking for just a couple of articles, I mean, you know, maybe we're not for you. But we're going to cover Mississippi State as extensively as we can, and that requires personal commitment and sacrifice. And we're willing to make it. So, yeah, we're going to get on a plane, and we're going to fly to Phoenix, Arizona. We'll Uber, probably, to Tempe. We'll have a great time. We're out there. And, you know, the Jim Blossoms are from Phoenix. Originally kind of based in Tempe. They had a big break in Phoenix. But I'm going to go out there and probably go to the Ash Avenue Bridge where Doug Hopkins' ashes were scattered and pay my respects. You know, when else am I going to get a chance to do that, you know? And so, yeah, that's who we are and what we're about. And so, again, you know, hey, you make your own decisions about what you're willing to accept coverage-wise. But I can tell you this. I wake up every single day, thinking about, hey, what do we need to write about? What do we need to do? Is so-and-so covered this? So-and-so covered that? And even at the end, even when we have 10, 12 articles a day, I always feel like maybe we could have done something else. That's how I feel. And maybe you're not so inclined. And that's okay. You know, maybe just, hey, I want to go read the transcript of the press conference and call it a day. Maybe so. You know, maybe that's satisfactory for you. It's not for me. It's not for me. Because I think Mississippi State deserves better. And been commenting over at the Arizona State Board, and I've had some people give me some feedback and say, hey, I've been to your board over there at Mississippi State. Those guys are real down to earth. I mean, you guys seem to be really good people. Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are good people. Matter of fact, I think we're salt of the earth type people. But I'm looking forward to getting out there. You know, went out to Tucson a couple of years ago. I drove out there, drove to Albuquerque, spent some time with the wife, and we drove down to Arizona. Roy was with us. Roy met us out there. And, of course, Roy then went to Vegas. We didn't. And hustled back, and I pulled into town on Monday morning just in time for Mike Leach's press conference, and he told me, I'm surprised you're here. I said, well, you know, Coach, I'm a grinder. And he goes, well, I thought you might want to spend a couple more days with your wife. And Coach was right. I should have stayed. But all that understood, it's very important to us. We believe there is a standard of excellence that we have to uphold. And so that's what we're going to do. And so just a little programming note, I'm flying out Friday. So the plan is to do the Boneyard Thursday night. So it should be available for your listening pleasure Friday morning. That's the plan, because I really don't want to get up Friday morning and have anything to do other than drive to the airport. And I'll get to Phoenix sometimes around 5 o'clock local time. And then we're going to get ready to cover a ballgame for you. And hopefully it's a win. And we're going to talk a lot more about Arizona State on Wednesday. And, again, we'll have some comments from Coach today. But also, too, we'll kind of get into our deep dive. I watched that game, Arizona State, Wyoming. Watched the condensed version of it with all the commercials and everything. We're going to play well. We're going to play well. I know they won 3 games last year, but they have flipped that roster, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. And so I expect to win, but we're going to have to go out there and play better, probably even better than we played on Saturday. We're going to talk a lot about that today on the show. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. And I loved them. I loved them long before they were an advertiser on this show. That's one of the reasons I was so happy to do business with them, because I was already a raving fan of Bulldog Burger Company. I thought it was a great addition to our Starkville eating locations. And for many of you, it is the stop. My brother came to town to watch season opener, couldn't wait. Kind of like some of you, he's like, hey, I'm not a season ticket holder, but I got a weekend off, and I want to go see the Jeff Levy team, and I want to be able to have, the memory of saying, hey, I was there for the first game. They came and floated at the spa and then went and ate at Bulldog Burger Company and then went to the ballgame. And it was so interesting, too, when I first mentioned, where to get lunch. He goes, hey, Bulldog Burger Company, I want to go up there. And I said, well, you need to plan ahead. It's going to be busy on game day. And it was. And Ian, my youngest, works there. He goes, man, we had great crowds all weekend, even into Sunday. It was a great experience. And listen, I thank you guys for supporting Starkville businesses. I do. I truly do. And one of the things that I want to recommend to you, we haven't talked about this in a while. Let's say you got a student up here at Mississippi State. Maybe it's a nephew. Maybe it's a niece. Maybe it's a son, a daughter. Maybe it's just a friend of the family. Go to eatwithus.com. And buy them a gift card. Buy them a gift card. They can have a night out on you. And they can eat at one of the great Eat With Us restaurants. Or you can get a Bulldog Burger Company discount card or gift card. And they can come have a meal on you. That is the cool aunt and uncle thing to do. And I can tell you, too, there's a lot of guys up here that want to take girls on dates. And they want to go out and do it right and have a nice dinner or whatever. And, maybe they can't afford to do that. And maybe you can help with that. It's a good option. Hey, 3 locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. The best thing about Bulldog Burger Company is that I know what I'm going to get. There is some consistency with everything there. You need to enjoy that as well. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. And get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's quickly go through our game here. Because there's always some things, we got to talk about. But, you saw the game, right? And for many of you, if you're like me, you get home from the game, you want to go watch the game again. And people don't get that. But there's so many things you miss, right? There's things the TV cameras catch that maybe you miss in live action. And vice versa, there's things the TV cameras don't catch that you see by being there. And there's nothing like being there. Now, Mississippi State wins a toss and elects to receive. Not surprising to me is Jeff Levy is an offensive-minded coach. I think Levy wanted to go out there and make a statement early. I believe he did. All right, so the very first play, we a little bit play-action thing, and we throw it out there to Kevon Lee, and it's incomplete. They got a little pressure on us there. And then the second pass, we throw a little short out there to Jordan Mosley. He moves the chains, and on first and 10, we take a shot down the field. We hit Mosley for the touchdown. Now, Jordan told us in postgame that was the play call initially, right? But the coverage that Eastern Kentucky showed didn't match up well with the play that we had designed, so we had to audible there, and we did. But I was curious, what would be the first play? What would the first drive look like? And we go out there, and we get a 65-yard touchdown pass, score from far. That's one of our new kind of cliches, I guess you could say. New battle cry for us. Score from far. They review it, and he's inbounds. No big deal there. But the extra point's good. I mean, it's 7-0, man, before anybody's popcorn is even chilly. I mean, you know, it's great. Thought the Bulldog defense came to play early. And listen, I get it. It's Eastern Kentucky. I get it. I'm not going to sit here and act like we played Alabama or even Kentucky for that matter. And we knew this Eastern Kentucky team had some question marks. Brand new quarterback. They lost their leading receiver, lost their leading running back. We knew Joshua Carter was probably going to be the guy, as he was the guy that shared carries a year ago, and he was. And they come out. It's a short right out the pass to him. They rush right, and then it's a 3rd-and-3. And how about the Bulldog defense coming up here on 3rd-and-3 and getting a stop and forcing a punt? And then on top of that, there's a personal foul on top of that that gives us a little better return here. Kevin Coleman, man, what a weapon he is going to prove to be. Guys, it's almost like every time that he grabs the punt return, he's so quick and he has such good acceleration out of his breaks. I mean, you talk about a guy that can make a move and get right back up to full speed. I almost think he's going to take it back every time. And maybe that's something we didn't fully appreciate because we didn't get to see a lot of practice. We did see a lot of special team stuff, but it wasn't like live action stuff, right? And there's only so much you can tell from practice. But we get a 32-yard return and then tack on 15 more yards to that. Takes it down to the Eastern Kentucky 26. It didn't take State long. Swing it out to Coleman, and then we run Booth for 5. We go back on that gives us a first down. 2nd-and-5. Excuse me. The Coleman catch gives us a first down. And then we run Booth for 5. And I really thought the running game left a little bit to be desired, just kind of be honest with you. I mean, I thought the offensive line played pretty well. I don't know if we're just not finding the holes yet. And it's going to take some time to kind of get some cohesion and everybody kind of learn each other. But I thought the running game probably – I won't call it a disappointment, but I was expecting a little more explosiveness, especially against an FCS opponent. But we go back to Booth here and get 2, and on 3rd-and-3, Chapin drops the pass, gets a little pressure in his face. He takes off and runs and winds his way in and has the layup there. As he crosses the goal line there. Extra points, good 14-0. And how many times, like we talked about that last year, even the Southeastern game, you know, it was a blowout. At first half, we were so bad offensively. And you wanted to give benefit of the doubt, right? You said, well, you know, it's, you know, changing philosophy, a lot of new faces. You know, we had the same thing this year, except here we are, first two drives, putting the ball in the end zone. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Sunday morning conversation this year after the season opener was so different than last year is because we look like we know what we're doing. Very, 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 very impressive start to this ball game, and I think in many respects to Jeff Labiera. And so they get the ball back, and you know, thought we did a pretty good job here. They were doing a little fair catching on the kick returns, but you know, it's another 3-and-out. You know, quickly a 3-and-out, and again, it's a 3rd-and-3, so it's a 3rd-and-short, and the Bulldogs come up and stop them a yard short of the line to gain, and so they end up punting, and then. Kevin Coleman, again, 18 yards. Are you kidding me? I mean, you think, man, if we get 10 yards on a punt return, we're doing great. And then here we are already. When you start looking at this, man, the guy's already got over 50 yards in return yardage and 2 punts. Pretty crazy. And again, State goes right to work here. And this is a situation here. We didn't finish this drive, and Jeff Lobby kind of talked a little about that in postgame and again today. You know, I kind of get the sense that Levy is going to be one of those guys that, like, if we don't score every drive, he's going to be a little bit irritated. And you know what? And I love that because you and I feel the same way, right? It's like if we don't score with great proficiency, we start getting a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm glad that our head coach shares in that same level of expectation. Yeah, but here we go. Pass out to Craver, who had a big game, and ended up bringing it back. Kind of unfortunate, too, because Craver takes this thing 47 yards, and it comes back to the illegal formation thing. On 1st-and-15, we run Kevon for 7, and on 2nd-and-8, swing it out to Mosley, get the first down, and the next thing you know, 1st-and-10 again, we get it out to Kevon, and it's another illegal formation. And this time it's on McKaylin Pounders. And so sometimes there are things that are point of emphasis, but to have two of these on one drive, you expect some of that in the you know, game one. They'll clean some of that stuff up. And Levy talked about that after the first scrimmage. You know, we gotta clean up these non-play and penalties. They can't have the pre-snap stuff. But so, again, we're behind the chains again, 1st-and-15. Chapin takes off and runs for 10, makes it a manageable third and four. We give it to Lee and just get the 1 yard. We decide to go for it here. You know, we could have probably attempted a field goal here, but I'm glad we went for it. However, Justin Ball makes a catch for 2 yards, and we turn it over on downs. You got to run that route deep enough. And so we didn't run the route deep enough, and we couldn't break a tackle there. And so we turn it over on downs. And again, this whole drive just kind of seemed a little bit herky-jerky. Even when Chapin goes and runs for 10, that's not a called play. You know, we didn't get protection. We couldn't get open. So Chapin has to go make something out of nothing, which gives us a manageable third down. And we got 2 shots at it. We don't convert. Those are the kinds of things that make you upset. All right. Eastern Kentucky gets the ball here again. And really, the first time they've really done anything of note, they get a first down here and then quickly get off the field. They get the first down, and then it's run. You run right for 4, and then you have an incomplete pass, makes it 3rd and 6, and then they have to punt. And so, again, third down conversion rate, pretty good for the Bulldog defense at this point in the game. And then, what do you know, Kevin Coleman returns it 45 yards, and then there's a penalty on us for sideline interference. Like, that's the kind of stuff that can't happen. Absolutely can't happen. And so 3 penalties so far in Mississippi State, and all of them are easy to clean up and are all self-inflicted, right? And again, a lot of that's just first game jitters or whatever. But Kevin Coleman, again, 45 yards, throwing 3 punts into this thing, and he has proven to be a difference maker on the Mississippi State team. All right, 1st and 10 now with 2:11 to go in the quarter. And Johnny Daniels gets in, gives us a couple yards, and then fumbles. And we recover. Cameron Ball gets on. He's credited with that. And then 2nd and 8, we go back to Johnny, and he gets 4, makes it 3rd and 4, and then Chapin runs for 3, and we come up a little bit short there. Good effort there. But, again, here we go, you're putting the ball on the ground. And, listen, I understand that it rained a little bit, and that's part of the deal, but ball security has always got to be job one. We put the ball on the ground 3 times. Fortunately, we got them all back. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But Nick Barmira with the 44-yard punt. Down to the East Kentucky 1. Now, that's a significant play, even though it doesn't matter in the grand scheme. But it shows that, hey, we have an opportunity to kill a punt and cover it inside the 5. Really good effort there. 1st and 10 from their 1-yard line. They run for 6 to give themselves a little room. It's Demonte Russell and Kedrick Bingley-Jones on the tackle there. We're going to need KBJ to be really good for us. All right, getting to 2nd quarter here. 2nd and 4, they run for 3. Again, brings up a 3rd and short. Another 3rd and short. What do you know? Braden Latham runs, and you know what? We stack them up. Brandon Jennings and Suleiman Paka make the stop here. So, again, another 3rd and short, and your Bulldog defensive line stepping up. Your backers kind of stepping up there. And, again, that's kind of a consistent theme. You start thinking about what's winning football. You have to get stops on 3rd and short, and we did. All right, they get a delay of the game at the punt. And this time just 7 yards for Kevin Coleman. There have been some times in years past we would have been overjoyed for that. Great, great, great game for him. All right, State takes over again here. And, again, good drive here. Kind of getting back on track here. 1st and 10 from their 47. We get a sack, and we're behind the chains. And you start thinking, okay, well, all right, Steve, what are we going to do? What are we going to do here? Well, we get it out to Creed Whittemore, gets us 3 yards. Now it's 3rd and 14. And this here, we talk about the differences. I'm not being critical of anybody that's on this team or used to be on this team. It's 3rd and 14, and this is an element that Blake Chapin brings that we hadn't had for a while. Everybody's back in coverage, and rather than just take a chance here, he sees an opportunity to go, and he goes and runs for 16 yards in the first down. I don't like him taking a bunch of hits in an FCS game, but – we haven't had that ability. We move the chains because of the athleticism of our quarterback. Makes it 1st and 10 at their 35. We get it out to Braylon here on the kind of a jet sweep action here. Loss of 6. Stonka gets hit for loss of 6. I hate that's his first touch. But now it's 2nd and 16. We're behind it again. And what do we know? We kind of set this thing up here. Run a little bit of reverse action to Creed Whittemore. Just like last year against Southeastern, he runs for the score. 41 yards. And again, the big plays, you're coming on the ground. You know, it's like Blake is part of the running game. Creed's part of the running game. And so a lot of the good things that happened here on this drive weren't through the air, but they're on the ground. pretty significant. Like, the only pass in this drive was that little jet action thing, the little puff pass to Stonka. That's it. It's the only thing we did. We got sacked early, too. We didn't get a pass off. But despite the fact that we had some adversity on the drive, we had that athleticism to overcome that. Now it's 21-0. All right, Eastern Kentucky drive here starts at their own 17-yard line. And then Stumblant with a PBU there, makes it second and 10. Latham runs for 11, gives us the first down, but that's it. And it's incomplete. Rush off the left side for 7. And you know what it is? It's third and short again. It's third and short. And I don't think we made a big enough deal about this in postgame. Third and short, and it's incomplete pass. They decided, hey, what, maybe we can't run against these guys, so let's attempt to pass here. Again, Bulldogs standing tall on third and short. And here it is again. 43-yard punt. Kevin Coleman returns it 30 yards. Back across midfield at the East Kentucky 48. You're liking this Coleman kid, aren't you? And Bulldogs go right to work. Again, you know, some adversity on the drive, kind of self-inflicted. We give it to Lee for 5, and then he runs off the left side for 2. Third and short here. And we swing it out to Kevon, and we get the first down. We're about a foot short. On 4th and 1, we do the little toss play off the right side here. We get 16 yards, and then Kevon fumbled. And you recall last year, that was some of the discussion in camp. Kevon had some ball security issues. And this time, I don't know if we can judge that. It was really wet. But Mario Craver jumps on it, right? So now it's 1st and 10 now, and then we throw it out there to Kevin Coleman. Need to reward him for all the work he's doing in the return game. Maybe one of the better slot receivers we've had in recent years. And that's not being critical of anybody. I'm just telling you, this kid's got special talent. It's extra points good. Now it's 28-0. And another good drive here, right? And so defensively. So on 1st and 10, they run off left side for 3. We get a sack here. Calvin Dinkins with the sack makes it a 3rd and 10 play. So now it's 3rd and long. But they make a completion here for 21 yards. We're playing a little bit soft there in the backside. They run off the right side for 3, and then they complete a short pass. And, again, short of the line of gain. 3rd and medium here, 3rd and 6. And once again, the Bulldogs know where the line of gain is. And Brown Lanier comes up, makes a nice tackle here. Gained us 5 yards. Now it's 4th and 1. They're going to go for it. They're going to go. And you know what happens? It's a 1-yard loss. Nick Mitchell and Paca both kind of knifing through there. So, again, the Bulldogs in short yardage situation, standing up, playing well. All right, 3:29 to go in the half. Didn't take us long. We try to get a pass out to Seydou, and probably should have been picked, to be honest with you. I think it surprised him that probably the only really bad miss of Blake all day. And then we hit it to Mario Craver. He's in the end zone, 54 yards. His first touchdown of the day. Extra points good. It's 35-0. And you love to be able to get an exclamation point right before the half. And then we had the only defensive drive of the day that I think we kind of maybe we lost a little bit of focus here. Maybe. 1st and 10, it's a complete out to Carter for 6, brings up 2nd and 4. They run. It's right at the sticks. They give the benefit of the doubt. Kai McClendon on the tackle there along with Ty Cooper. 1st and 10, and it seemed like Morrissey found the rhythm here. But honestly, I think some of this is because we were playing a little bit soft in coverage. Yeah, I think you got to keep playing what you play to make it 35-0. I'm not being critical. I'm just kind of saying that for what it is. I think he got in a rhythm because of the fact that we kind of softened up a little bit, kind of played some prevent here. That's how it looked to me. Nevertheless, on 1st and 10, now he gets it out to Caldwell's for 11. That moves the chains again. Now we're out near midfield, and they run for 3, and it's incomplete. Brennan Jennings in the face there, 3rd and 7. They get it out for another 1st down. So 3rd down passing efficiency working pretty well for him. 1st and 10, incomplete. 2nd and 10, they get it out to Dixon, for 16 yards. Now it's a 1st and 10 at our 25. Incomplete on 2nd and 10. 3rd and 10, a chance for us to get off the field. What do you know? That he find Caldwell's again for 12. Now it's a 1st down at our 13. 1st and 10, they get it to Caldwell's again for 3. Makes it 2nd and 7. They're incomplete here. John Lewis in his face. There was some discussion there that perhaps that was a fumble. And I honestly, even in live time, I thought it was an incomplete pass. I thought the hand came forward. The arm was hit, but it was not an empty hand. So I was okay with the call. I'm greedy, though. I didn't want it. But on 3rd and 7 here, the kid makes a nice play. The guy makes a nice catch. And we're upset because we wanted the shutout. I didn't expect a shutout, but, man, I wanted it. I did. Extra points good, 35-7. We run out the half there. And so Bulldogs, 35-7 at the break. And right now everybody's like, you know what, things are a little bit different in Starkville. It's one thing that I've talked about with you guys on the show. Just walking in the building this year, there's a different sense of energy. A different sense of energy in that building. And I think you saw some of that Saturday. Listen, I get it. It's Eastern Kentucky. But I think you saw this team play with a lot more confidence. And again, you take that one clunker of a drive defensive when you just throw that thing out. It didn't matter in the end, but it's a teachable moment. And so I think at this point, there were some of our students, and I love you guys to death. I'm glad you guys packed it out. But there were some students there. It's like, hey, now I got to go change before we go out. And so it's 35-7. I'm going to go to the house and clean up a little bit, put on some fresh cologne, and go hit the Cotton District and see if I can't find the date. But those of you that stayed got to see some good football. For sure. All right, let's jump into the second half here. And here, the thing that I always think about is, like, you know, we talk about closing halves and opening halves, right? And of course, they had to kick off here, needed to get a defensive stop. And I thought Eastern Kentucky came out with some purpose. You can say, hey, this game is probably over if you're Eastern Kentucky, but we're not going to go mail it in. Let's go see if we can't put a touchdown on the board here to open the half. You've made some adjustments. It's going to make things happen. Morrissey comes out, and he hits Daquan Staley for 19 yards. And on 1st and 10, they run right for 8. And it just really felt like whatever they were doing, they were like, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. And if Mississippi State gets us, they get us. All right, on 2nd and 2 here, after the Carter run for 8, it's complete to Staley for 5 yards. Now they're already out to midfield in the first down. You could kind of sense a little bit of uneasiness in Davis Wade Stadium. And then next thing you know, we kind of start bringing some pressure here, incomplete to the left, and then it's complete to Daquan Staley. And then Brylon Lanier really makes a nice play here. I think he's going to be a star for us. Brings up 3rd and short again. 3rd and 2. Joshua Carter, their guy, is going to run up in there and move the chains. But no, it's Paca and Nick Mitchell again. Again, 3rd and short situation, and we're shutting it down. 4th and 2, they go for it, and it's an incomplete pass. Isaac Smith, who led the team with 11 tackles, jumps in with the PBU there. And at that point, it felt like, okay, let's just go ahead and put this thing away and let the young guys get up and play. And that's pretty much what we did here. Booth comes in and runs off left side for 4. We're complete to Jordan Mosley for 14 yards here. And I tweeted this out, but it's so crazy. Last year, he had 3 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. In the first quarter in this ball game, 3 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Guys, he has already exceeded his production from a year ago. It's nuts, man. It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. All right, we go back to Mosley for 3 here. Makes it 2nd and 7. Booth off the left side for 3. And then we get stacked up here. And on 4th and 4, we decide to go for it. And what do you know? Blake Shapen hits Kevin Coleman. Get used to hearing that name, for 16 yards and a first down. All right, then we run up the middle. Run up the middle here for nothing. On 2nd and 10, we go off the right side for 9. And on 3rd and 1, Boot, one of the better running plays of the day, and not just because of the fact that we netted 15 yards. I thought he followed the play well. The flow of the play was very good, and when he saw an opportunity to burst the lead, he did. That's 1st and goal. We give it back to Booth. Let him finish what he starts. His first Bulldog touchdown. Extra points good. It's 42-7 now. And for all intents and purposes, this game is over. So I was glad to see us start supping a lot more. All right, 1st and 10 now for them at the – they're on 25. And Latham runs up the middle. And it's Zachary Tillman, who was 2nd on the team with 6 tackles. And then Trevion Williams. A lot of people were concerned about how much he'd play. He did play a little bit. Got to keep him healthy. We got to have him out there to kind of provide some depth and some explosiveness on that interior D-line. 2nd and 7, they run for 2. 3rd and 5, complete a short pass and get 6. Jordan Morant with a tackle. And listen, he's been a career special teams guy. It's good to see him step up there as a second-teamer, make some plays. 1st and 10 now. Again, short passing game out to call-wise. They get 8, makes it 2nd and 2, and then Latham runs off the right side for 16. And so it's a sustained drive here. Second time in this quarter, they've been able to kind of put some things together and really kind of flip the field in some respects. First and 10, it's a complete for just 2 yards. Tillman again. Big physical play here. Some oohs and ahs from the crowd. Second and 8, Latham off the left side for 7. And you know what? Guess what time it is? It's 3rd and short. 3rd and 1. They run up the middle, and John Lewis and Kobe Albert make the tackle there. Brings up a 4th and 1. They said, you know, we're going to go for it. And again, the Bulldogs in short yardage stand tall. Brandon Jennings and John Lewis hit him for a 2-yard loss at the state 31. The drive is over. I'm not going to belabor the point, but the Bulldogs in this ball game very good in short yardage. All right, State goes to work here at 33. And we make the long shot up the middle for 25 yards to Kevin Coleman. And it's just a matter of time before he really, really, really becomes a problem for teams in the Southeastern Conference, provided he stays healthy. No reason to think he won't. We go back to him for 9 more, makes it 2nd and 1. We give it to Lee, who gets 3 yards. And even though it's, you know, the game is over, right, I'm happy to see us in short yardage just kind of run schematically here, right? It's like, hey, it's 2nd and 1. We ought to be able to pick that up. We do. 1st and 10 now. We take a shot to say do. And, you know, I think I'm mistaken here. I think this is the play when it should have been picked. I think this is the overthrow. So my mistake, Blake. 2nd and 10 earlier, Kevon goes for 5 here. And in 3rd and 5, Shapen gets loose for 18. It's now 1st down here. And on 1st and 7, we throw to Craver, and we're off target here. And then Lee runs for nothing on 2nd and 7. And that runs out the quarter. So we go to the 4th quarter with Mississippi State knocking on the door here. And should have got points here. We didn't. 3rd and 7. We take a shot to Seydou. It's incomplete. Frank Lee in our face there. And so we go out to kick field goal. And let me address this today. Just so incredibly uncharacteristic of Hayes. We didn't get a good snap. A rarity. I think you can probably count on 2 fingers. How many times Hayes Hammond hadn't just been an absolute machine getting that ball back there. So bad snap there, and we miss. So we don't finish the drive as we should. They take over at their 20, and again, kind of another sustained drive here. But the Bulldogs, again, step up, get things done. Carter goes off the left side for 13. That's a 1st down. Incomplete to Slater. Dante Russell in the backfield there. Love the fact that guy has, you know, kind of become a bit of a pass rushing specialist. 2nd and 10. It's complete for 7. And on 3rd and 3, 3rd and short again. Again, they elect not to run. They throw a pass here and get 10 yards. So really, one of the only times on 3rd and short where they convert and move the chains here. 1st and 10. We're off sides here. Makes it 1st and 5. However, Joseph Head and A'shaun Shepherd rifle back there and get the sack to put them behind the sticks. You got to love that. Generate a little pass rush there. And so now it's a 2nd and 12 play. And they give it to Carter, who gets 2, makes it 3rd and 10. He's incomplete to Jacob Horn there. And Dante Russell again harassing the quarterback. They punt away out of bounds. Probably the only way to slow Kevin Coleman down, just to kick it away. Felt like we needed to get some things going here. And, you know, we did a little bit. We kind of kicked ourselves here on this drive. Shot ourselves in the foot a little bit again. 1st and 10 from our 14-yard line. We give it to Daniels for 5. On 2nd and 5, we take a shot here. Chris Parson at quarterback now. A little bit long to San Francisco McGee, but what a great effort from the kid from Macomb. He lays out and tries to make a play. Can't quite come down with it. And on 3rd and 5, Johnny Daniels runs for 11 yards. 1st and 10 here. Parson gets loose, runs for 7, makes it a 2nd and 3. Johnny runs for a loss and then fumbled, and then it's recovered by Johnny Daniels. That's who it's credited to. Now it's 3rd and 4. 3rd and short, and you know, we decided to take a pass here to Cade Kolka. Can't get it done. 4th and 4. Nick Barmira comes in and punts it away. Fair caught at the 12-yard line. 52 yards on the punt. Pretty good net punting average there. You remember what a problem that was for us last year. All right, 1st and 10 now for Eastern Kentucky at their 12. And it really, at this point, their fun was over. Morrissey gets flushed. Dante Russell gets a hand on him. it goes down as a run for no gain. It's, you know, 6 inches away from being another sack. And again, Don Terry out there just, you know, being a terror. Second and 10, Carter runs off the right side for 4, makes it 3rd and 6. They decide to pass again here, and then Jordan Morant steps up and breaks it up, makes it a 4th and 6. They got a punt, and what do you know, J.P. Purvis comes in unblocked and gets a hand on it, can't find it. Mario Craver does for his 2nd touchdown. Mario Craver, a true freshman that I think some people in the state of Alabama are going to look back in a year or two and say, you know what, we probably should have taken that kid. Extra point is good. It's now 49-7. 6:58 to go. Carter runs up the middle for 5. Carter goes again for 4. 3rd and short here. And again, they run this time. And again, you got a lot of younger guys in here. Terrence Hibbler, redshirt freshman's in there. Tillman, a redshirt freshman, make the tackle here after a gain of 3 yards. 1st and 10, it's incomplete to Stanley. 2nd and 10, Carter runs off right side for 6. And then we're in zone here. And then Elijah Cannon steps in front of a Matt Morrissey pass and takes it back 51 yards for a touchdown. And there's a flag down on the play, but it's against EKU as an ineligible downfield. Extra points good. It's now 56-7. That caps our scoring. Eastern Kentucky gets the ball right back. And again, it's back-to-back drives where the Bulldogs have scored non-offensive touchdowns. That's always great. Anytime, how many times did we struggle with that last year? At times we needed a defensive score. But instead, here we are. All right, Matt Morrissey runs up the middle. No, pardon me. This is the bad snap, and we get on it. We get on him. He recovers, but it's a loss of 14, makes it 2nd and 24. These guys just ready to get out of here. They hand it off to Latham, Marcus Ross, and Hibbler on the tackle. Now it's 3rd and 22, and then Rush runs for 13. Yeah, we're playing cloud right here. We'll let you hand it off. And then a nice punt for them, 59 yards out of bounds at the state 22. And from there, we run it out. You know, we bring in Michael Van Buren here. And, you know, we give it to Xavier Gayton, 1 yard loss. Hate that's his first touch. But we go right back to him. He runs for 12. He's going to be an explosive player for us. And then he runs off left side for 5. So 2 carries, 17 yards, or I guess 16 with the net. So now it's 56-7. That's a ball game. Let's take a quick look at the box score. And we'll get ready to move on. And, again, we've got a lot of coverage of Arizona State. We've already had couple of articles over at Gene's page about Arizona already. Had one last night, kind of your first look at Arizona, kind of looking back at their weekend. And, of course, Kenny Dillingham's press conference today. The content's free. All the big room stuff always is. All right, Blake Shapen, 15 of 20 for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns, a long of 65. Sacked just the one time. We just had a bust there. Parson goes 0 for 2. And, again, great effort on the one long pass to San Francisco McGee. Just couldn't quite come up with it. Blake also runs as our leading rusher. Did you know that? Yeah, Blake Shapen goes 7 carries, 44 yards. I'd like that to be a little bit down. Creed Whittemore, of course, the 1 carry for 41. Kevon Lee, 9 for 40. Davin Booth, 8 for 39. Need both of those guys to get about 20 carries, I think. That's just me. Johnny Daniels, 5 for 21. Xavier Gayton, 3 for 16, as the aforementioned. 1 for 7 for Parson. And then on the receiving side of things, Jordan Mosley, 5 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. Coleman, 5 for 88 and a touchdown. Mario Craver, the 1 for 54. Of course, he had another one called back. Creed Whittemore, 1 for 3. Kevon, 1 for 2. Justin Ball, 1 for 2. And then Stonka Burnside, 1 for loss of 6. Not his fault. Looking at some defensive numbers here. Isaac Smith, of course, led the team with 11 tackles. We've already mentioned that. Zakari and Brandon Jennings, both with 6 tackles apiece. Brian Lanier with 5. Stone Blanton with 5. John Lewis with 4. Paca with 4. And it seemed like Paca was doing a really good job kind of fitting gaps there. Bryce Pollock with 4. He had some really nice plays. Also a pass breakup for him. Hunter Washington with 4. Tanner Johnson, a name maybe you don't know quite as well. 4 tackles for him. Don Terry with 4. And 2 quarterback hurries. Nick Mitchell with 4. Kyle McClendon, the freshman from Gulfport, with 4 in his very first collegiate game. Ashawn Shepard with 3. Kelly Jones with a couple. And you notice they didn't test him. Radar Jones also had a couple tackles. Kobe Albert. Again, we can go on down the list here. Really no point. But Nick Barmero with 2 punts, an average of 48, both inside the 20, and, of course, that 152-yarder. Kevin Coleman, 5 returns for 117 yards. And, of course, he had the other one. He had another long one that was negated by a penalty. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive there. And so, really good effort, I think, all the way around. And, again, when you add a couple non-offensive touchdowns, it makes it easier for the game to get a little bit out of hand. And it did. And we're excited about that. And, again, on Wednesday, we'll kind of break down Arizona State a little bit, kind of look ahead, kind of what we've seen. I can tell you that offensively, they're a lot different than what we've seen. They're going to run a lot of zone read. They're going to run a lot of screens. They really want to stress the linebackers. It'll be interesting to see what Coleman Hustler comes up with. But now it's today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. And we'll go quick. C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our friend in the mortgage industry. I love Blair. He's a great person. He's been in this industry now for 23 years. And listen, when you're just starting out in life, you don't know where to turn, right? And so I would encourage you, go with somebody with the experience that can get you to the closing table. Perhaps nobody else can. Blair can get you pre-qualified. It'll save you and your real estate agent a lot of time as you begin to look at homes within your means. And you know what? You may be able to afford a home maybe a little bit above the price range you're considering. So it's good to sit down with Blair and kind of figure out the financial part of this. Blair's number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. And you need to talk to Blair, whether you're looking to refinance, whether life has dealt you a curveball and it's time to kind of recalibrate life. Maybe you've been transferred. Maybe you've had a relationship change. Maybe you're just looking for a fresh start. Well, Blair can take a lot of that stress off your plate and be your advocate with underwriting. Be sure and check him out. Again, an absolute genius when it comes to mortgage lending. And thankfully, he's a Bulldog too. Got a place here, season ticket holder, multiple sports. You're keeping business in the family. You got to know that any donations coming from Blair are going to the Bulldog Club or the Bulldog Initiative. Okay, real quickly, it is Labor Day. We have done this before, and so it's a bit of a repeat, but in honor of Labor Day, we're going to do songs about work. And so here we go, real quickly. Not a lot of insight today because we got to move on. We got a lot of things to cover. Number 10, I wore a Pop Evil shirt to media today. I like to change up the rotation after a while. You know, it's like, you know, the wife does laundry, and you know, I've got so many T-shirts, and so they're spread out in chests of drawers all over the place. And so I decided to dip into the reservoir today, pulled out a Pop Evil shirt. So we're going to go with Pop Evil's Work, number 10. Number 9, as I'm leaving Tupelo Friday night, stopped to get gas, go in there, and this young kid saw me, and he said, "Hey, listen to punk rock?" I said, "Well, not the modern." And so it kind of got me along this line of thinking today. It's The Clash's Career Opportunities at number 9. Number 10, probably one of the most profound songs about working, I guess in some respects in honor of Elvis Presley, it's Bachman Turner Overdrive's Taking Care of Business Every Day. Number 7, like this one a lot, I always have. It's the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night at number 7. Because a lot of people work the night shift, right? You know, the bride used to work the night shift too, working labor and delivery. So I know about those day sleepers. Number 6, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the disco queen, Donna Summer. What an amazing talent. I mean, it's like when you go back and think about our childhood and think about all those days at the skating rink and things like that, Donna Summer was a big part of the soundtrack of our lives. And, of course, the video, great. She works hard for the money. So you better treat her right. You hear me? All right, number 5. I had to work this one in. I'm not a huge Rush fan, and many of you are. Geddy Lee's voice just kind of doesn't really work with me. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're not incredibly talented musicians. They are. But Rush has never really been that band for me. Some people absolutely love it. But it's Working Man, number 5 from Rush. Number 4, we got to recognize an American icon, in many respects a world icon. Probably a lot of people's first crushes in this country, at least in my generation. But Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. And she's so sophisticatedly Southern. It's one of the reasons that we love her. We do. All right, number 3, great song. Absolutely dig it. I have for a long time. Matter of fact, the second album that I ever purchased was this band's album, Rockin' to Paradise. And yes, I'm talking about Styx. It's Blue Collar Man at number 3. Number 2, Man, I like this one. I always have. And have we done a Huey Lewis top 10? Have we? I have to get Roy to check. I know Stuck With You will be on there somewhere. Love that track, man. But the Heart of Rock and Roll still beating. Yeah. But this one, it's working for a living. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. You remember that one? Yeah, that's number two. And number one, though, I think people of today, the generation of today, I don't think you guys understand what a big deal Loverboy was on rock radio. Everybody remembers Journey and Foreigner and in some respects REO Speedwagon. But maybe it's the leather pants. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that Mike Reno wore that headband and had the short haircut. Many of you tried to pull that off. You're not as committed to the image as I am. But it's Loverboy's Working for the Weekend. And, of course, a lot of people, when they hear this song, they think about that SNL skit with Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley. And I remember some friends of Chris Farley, Chris Rock, said he hated it. He hated it, and he thought that it made Chris look bad. A lot of people thought it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it was really kind of exploitive in some respects, and I'm not a guy that gets easily offended, but when you think about the life that he lived and how sadly he died, maybe there's something to say for that. But Working for the Weekend from Loverboy. Everybody is working for the weekend. And in football season, it certainly feels that way, right? It's like, and I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I couldn't wait to turn the page yesterday. Because when we're winning in football, you can't wait to play again, right? I mean, and isn't that how you feel? And it's like when we're losing, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult to endure this year. And listen, we're going to have some adversity this year. We all know that. But when we're winning, like right now, everybody says, hey, listen, this game against Arizona State is huge. I've been preaching it for months. It is huge for us. It's huge for them. Both teams are looking at this game saying, hey, we got to win this game to give us a real chance to be bowl eligible. Guys, it's going to be a war on Saturday. I know many of you are like, Steve, I got to get all the football I can get. I'm having a blast right now because I feel like there's new life within the program that I love so much. And there is. And you're hoping. You're saying, you know what? Hey, man, I would love for my good friend and host to be right about this, because you see it the same way I do. We win and then take care of Toledo next week, and they're not going to be a pushover. Then you're 3-0 with Florida coming to town, a struggling Florida team, and we're going to take a quick look at that in the next segment of the show. About the scores in the SEC. But week one is kind of played out how we kind of thought it would, with rare exception. But as far as the misery index goes around fans around the country, you got to think Florida fans are probably the most miserable right now. And then you got Miami players out there telling recruits, "Don't come here, don't come here. We run Florida. Come to Miami." Right? It's true. All right. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. That's right. I was at Bookmart and Cafe yesterday. I had a chance to visit with some of you guys. And just kind of doing, making some appearances before the new book comes out, which will be in October, a little later than we wanted, but it's going to be early October, early to mid-October. And we'll hopefully have a final release date for you this week. But nevertheless, Campus Bookmart has everything that my heart desires, right? I love being able to go in there, buy Mississippi State merchandise from Bulldogs, from a Starkville business, from people that kind of ride the emotional wave of being a Bulldog fan, just like you and I do. A lot of big corporations out there will sell you a shirt. They don't know what it means to you. That's what Campus Bookmart does. They understand. Miss Kathy Brown gets those victory shirts together, and you can kind of commemorate the moment and have that to look back on. It's great. But if you're looking for Mississippi State apparel, gift items, whether it be a housewarming gift, a wedding gift, I just got a wedding invitation today. I got to go out and buy some Mississippi State merchandise for people that I care about, right? And so look no further than Campus Bookmart. And so if you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, if I can get it out, we'll give you a promo code. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75, and you order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. You owe it to yourself when you come in. I'll be doing some appearances there later in the year. So when you come to game day, come by early, pick up some Mississippi State merch, come say hello, get some signed books, and we'll begin to kind of get Santa Dog's sleigh packed for those you love and care about. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Be sure and check them out today. All right, let's take a quick look at the SEC weekend it was. Of course, we've already touched on Missouri's blowout of Murray State and Arkansas's blowout of Arkansas Pine Bluff. There were a lot of blowouts, as we expected, but also some surprises. Yeah, there's some surprises. Now, Oklahoma wins 51-3. I thought Temple might make a little more of a game of it. I expected Oklahoma to win this game rather handily, but guys, it was 34-0 at the break in this ballgame. Temple gets a field goal. Oklahoma matches them in 14 in the final quarter to win 51-3. And again, a lot of players played in this ball game. You know, a game, you know, I think in many respects kind of shows that Georgia is legit. Not that you needed a lot of convincing, but you get Clemson. It's 6-0 at the break. And I don't know if anybody in the country last year made better halftime adjustments than Georgia did. I mean, how many times did you see it? They would kind of, you know, shoot themselves on the foot, allow teams to hang around, and they get in the locker room and they make halftime adjustments, which is great coaching, and they would take over a second half. That's what happens here. They outscore Clemson 28-3 in the final half to win 34-3. Carson Beck, 278 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. Pretty impressive, for sure. Now, Texas runs all over Colorado State. We didn't expect that to be a ball game. Again, Texas got a chance to be really, really good this year. Quinn Ewers, now an SEC player, 260 yards, three touchdowns, and one pick. And, you know, we'll be there in about a month's time. Going to be a fun time. Hope you can join us. Alabama all over Western Kentucky, and our friend Drew Hollingshead, 63-0. I talked to some Alabama fans just yesterday at the spa. They came to float, and you know, they said Jalen Milroe was pretty much is what he is. You know, he's just a great athlete with a big arm. And he kind of saw that yesterday, or Saturday. 200 yards passing, three touchdowns. Pretty impressive showing, but again, it's Western Kentucky. But anytime that you beat anybody 63-0, it's a good thing. And guys, it was 42-0 at the break. Ole Miss all over Furman. No surprise there. We know we expect Jackson Dart and the Ole Miss offense to be prolific this year. They were. Dart, those were 418 yards and five touchdowns. Guys, it was 52-0 at the break. And then they scored 21 in the third and then kind of called the dogs off and won 76-0. And all five of Dart's touchdowns came in the first half. All right, Notre Dame, we called it here on the show. And it's so funny, too. There were some people who were like, you know, everybody was expecting A&M to win this game. Guys, Notre Dame, number one, was ranked higher. Notre Dame has more returning talent than last year, and you've got Mike Elko and his staff out there just kind of figuring out themselves and their personnel. I'm not surprised at all by this. And again, I think Texas A&M is going to probably be a 7-5 team this year. We'll see. We need them to beat Florida. But Notre Dame 23-13 here. And, you know, it's a 6-6 ball game at the break. Notre Dame takes the 13-6 lead and then wins the fourth quarter 10-7. Riley Leonard, of course, former Mike Elko quarterback at Duke, throws are just 158 yards, but hey, they got things done. That's a big win for Notre Dame. And in many respects, kind of legitimizes them a little bit, even though we don't expect A&M to be great. But to go on the road and play a team that's been preparing for you all summer and beat them in their own backyard by 10, a ranked team, that is a significant accomplishment in my estimation. Tennessee, 69-3 winners over UT Chat. Impressive. Impressive offense. Again, 35-0 at the break. And you know, a lot of offense this weekend. And again, I think Tennessee's a sneaky team. I won't be the least bit surprised they make the playoffs. I won't be surprised. I was surprised, however, even though we picked Miami to beat Florida, I think many of you did too, I didn't expect it to be the bloodletting that it was. And of course, Cam Ward doing big things at Miami. Of course, Mississippi State was in the mix with Cam. Didn't work out for us. But 385 yards and three touchdowns. Did have the one pick. But big game for him. And guys, at the break, it felt like this thing was over. I mean, we're settling in there at Davis Wade Stadium. It's like, hey, it's 24-10. And next thing you know, you look up. This game is absolutely getting away from Florida. 41-17 is your final. To have somebody come into your backyard and beat you like that, that is one of those things that people just aren't going to be willing to accept. Yeah, Miami's a ranked team, right? Everybody gets that aspect of it. It's not like this is a Miami team that's expected to finish last in the ACC. This is a Miami team that has some expectations. But when you have somebody, an in-state rival, come into your stadium after you've been selling everybody all summer, it's like, hey, we're going to get it fixed. We're going to get it fixed. And then, of course, Billy Napier today kind of takes a shot at the Florida fan base and said, we're going to focus more on, you know, the work ahead of us instead of what some guy in his basement has to say. I mean, you know, it's like you don't troll the trolls when you're losing. Bob from Boca Chica is lying in wait for that to happen. And some of you know the reference, right? When you go out there and you start entertaining the noise, you start letting people know that you're paying attention. You don't ignore that stuff. The noise only increases. And that's what's going to happen. You know, the Bull Gators, they're not going to be happy either. And while it's not the rank and file fan that kind of forces athletic directors' hands and stuff, those people do have social media. They see the unrest within your fan base. And you start, again, you know, Florida gets Samford this week. But, you know, the bloom is well off the rose there in Gainesville, Florida. And even though this may not be, like, ultimately it, like, I think we're going to look back in hindsight and say, you know what, when they lost that game in Miami, things were already teetering. And even though it took a while, that's really the deal, right? Another big surprise, how about Vanderbilt at home beating Virginia Tech? Wasn't a fluke either. You go back and watch the clips of that, it's an overtime too. And what a great win. For Coach Lee and his staff, I text Barton Simmons congratulating him. He's like, yeah, man, thanks. What a great day it was. And you know what it is? Because everybody up there is like, you know what? We kind of care about football, but we really don't. But we want you guys to win. We can't keep having these 2-10 years. And you can't even sit here and say it's a signature win because, you know, Clark Lee and those guys, it'd be Florida and Kentucky, you know, when Mike Riley was their quarterback a couple of years ago. But a huge win for them. And you start looking at Vanderbilt's schedule and begin to think, hey, is it possible they can get in a bowl game somewhere? I still don't believe so. But this was not on the radar for me. How about that? And then Drones, the quarterback in Virginia Tech, has a pretty good ball game. They just couldn't finish. Couldn't finish. Speaking of finishing, and really if you're Shane Beamer, like really all you can say is we got a dub, right? I really thought they would take care of Old Dominion. I didn't think it'd be a blowout, but I also didn't think it'd be a nail-biter. Pretty crazy. It's 10-7 after one, and then Carolina adds a field goal just before the half, make it 13-7. And in the second half, it's like Old Dominion took the fight to them. They win the third quarter, right? This thing is going to the fourth. One play could determine this ball game. It's nuts, man. It's 16-16 going to the fourth quarter in Columbia. And, you know, there are a lot of people up there, even though they won this ball game, probably feel the same way about Shane Beamer that the Florida fans feel about Billy Napier. It's like, yeah, you won, but we feel like we lost. And that's the battle that you always fight, right? It's a kind of, you know, that this runaway train is coming down the track. And you're telling yourself, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. It's not. It's not okay. And hopefully Shane and those guys can turn it around. But that, you know, not a very inspiring win. You're happy to get the win, but, man, that's tough. Hugh Freeze in Alabama A&M, about as we expected, 73-3. I think I read that they played two 10-minute quarters in the second half. Some wild stuff at Kentucky and Southern Miss. I don't know how they handle this on the gambling side, but they kind of figured some things out here. The weather was a problem, delayed, and they only didn't play in the three quarters. 31-0 is the final. Thought that Southern Miss may cover, but you know, Kentucky, not a great team. Unusual circumstances. And then last night, I saw a lot of people celebrating the success of Woody Marks. I hope the people aren't bitter. Of course, if we had him here, it makes us a better team. But Woody, 16 carries for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game winner against LSU. And what a wild fourth quarter that proved to be. It felt like LSU was in complete control. I mean, and maybe that's overstating it a little bit, but it felt like LSU let this game get away. Now, give USC a lot of credit for making the plays to win, but it felt like LSU should have been able to put this thing away. Played out in Vegas. USC wins 27-20. Again, 14 points there in the fourth quarter. And it's interesting, too. Like, I saw the social media people when, you know, everybody was upset. Oh, they called a celebration. you simulate firing a shotgun, they're gonna call it. And people are like, oh, we're so sensitive. Guys, this goes back to the days of Miami and the U, right? You know, the finger pistols way back then. That's not a new rule. It's not that everybody's gotten ultra-sensitive. They just never let people do that. But it didn't factor then, but I think it may speak to a disciplinary issue within LSU. And again, I think LSU is going to be a team good enough to win 10 games this year. But the whole thing about, you know, Brian Kelly pounded on the desk, it comes off disingenuous to me. Maybe you guys see it differently. I think a lot of that just comes off the tone of generated reaction. You know, Brian Kelly was an interesting hire. It was a loud hire. You go hire the coach of Notre Dame. It's historic in many respects. But I think most people would say that they have probably underachieved. I mean, of course, they made the SEC championship game a couple years ago by surprise. They beat Alabama and they make it. And then last year you have a Heisman Trophy winner, and it's a pretty unremarkable season. And then right out of the gate, you've lost again in the season opener. And it's pretty crazy to think about how that's worked, you know, for LSU in recent years under Brian Kelly. And so it's like, you know, what is the deal here with the openers? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, have you followed that? I mean, it's like, I think it's pretty incredible to think about. In the Brian Kelly era, all right, so you lose this year, as you guys are well aware. Last year, you get smacked by Florida State, absolutely crushed by Florida State. And you go back to 2022, and that's that crazy game, too, you know, where they missed extra point there at the end. And so that's three in a row that, you know, lose the season opener. You know, and we date back to the last year of Ed Orgeron. Remember his comments about the sissy blue shirt, and they go up there and they lose. So it's, you know, four straight years, and dare we do it? Yes, we shall. We'll go back to 2020 when Mississippi State went into Tiger Stadium and spanked the Tigers. And so that's five straight years where LSU has lost the season opener. And, of course, three of those had Brian Kelly at the helm. So interesting trends there. Now, that's not to say that LSU hadn't done some good things once they get through there, but I think losing season openers in many respects is coaching. I really do. Maybe that's just me. I think as a coach, you got to get guys ready to play. You could say, but Steve, you know, it's not like they're playing, you know, the Louisiana School of Math and Science, and that's true. You go back to when they played Georgia Southern back in 19, you know, they crushed those guys 55-3. And LSU is going to be one of these teams. They want to play in these big ball games early in the year. And they have played those kind of invite games on a neutral site. So that, to be fair, it's not the typical season opener. But that said, you're LSU. You're expected to go play in those games and expected to win them. And then they did. But that's your schedule, your results from last week. Real quickly, we'll take a quick look to see kind of who has who this week. And then we're going to move forward. It's like a few things we want to talk about. But looking at week two, some super cool games. Super cool games. And the fact that our game is so late, well, should give you a chance to watch these games. You got Texas and Michigan. Top 10 matchup right out of the gate. 11 a.m. broadcast on Fox. You got Arkansas and Oklahoma State. That's fun, right? That's going to be in Stillwater. The Boom Pickens. McNeese at A&M. Chance for A&M to get a win. Tennessee Tech to Georgia. Cal and Auburn. You remember last year, Auburn went out there and beat Cal? So this is the return game of that. Peyton Thorne, good game last week, and so we'll see how things go. But, again, a little Power 5 matchup. Got an SEC game, too, South Carolina at Kentucky. And what do you expect in this one? Yeah, you know, South Carolina's done it before. I don't think they'll do it this year. Middle is at Ole Miss. South Florida is at Alabama. Buffalo is at Missouri. Buffalo's 1-0. Samford 0-1. They'll head to Florida, and I'm telling you this, if Samford finds a way to win that game, and Samford has played well against SEC opponents at times too, if they find a way to win that game, Billy Napier may not make it through the week. Nicholls State at LSU, Tennessee is at NC State, that's the Duke's Mayo Classic, and Charlotte will be fun. Alcorn State is at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt a real chance to get out 2-0. Houston's at Oklahoma. Houston did not thrive over the weekend offensively. And, of course, Mississippi State at Arizona State. So a great slate of games this week. Hope you guys, those of you that are not traveling to Tempe, Arizona, hope you enjoy a great day with friends and family, watching a full day of some good football all weekend long. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google that, and their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can peruse the pictures of the fine amenities that are available for you and your guests when you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you bring a large group to town, and maybe that's something that we don't do enough, right? How many times do we say, hey, you know, we need to get together more? And you never do. You mean it, but you never follow through. This is it. It's like, hey, we want to get everybody together. And by bring the kids or the cousins or whatever, we'll bring mom and dad. Everybody get here and we'll have a family weekend in Starkville, or maybe just a midweek vacation. We got all this vacation time that we save up and never use. You know, maybe you think, hey, why don't, you know, we got fall break coming up. Why don't we take a couple days and just go to Starkville and just take a midweek trip, you know, when things aren't quite so busy? And then we'll go to enjoy our favorite restaurants. We'll get out and enjoy the town that we love and have a little more time to do it. Maybe it's a work crew you're bringing to town. But look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. It's 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, tucked away very neatly and quietly. Just really one neighbor out there. We don't want you throwing a rager, but you can have some peace and quiet. You got that great back porch area. You got the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that great fire pit area. And you know what? It's starting to get cooler here at night. Could be fire pit weather. That's right. Conversations around a fire pit are just more meaningful. I don't know. I don't explain it. Those are just the rules. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. And here's the thing, too. When you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. That's up to you. But if you want to book and save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. And if you're like me, I'm always looking for a good promo code. Anytime I can save a few bucks, I'm happy to do it, right? Maybe I ain't got it like y'all, but anytime that I can save a few bucks of my hard-earned cash, I do. So you can stay at Stark Vegas Clubhouse, have a great experience in the greater Starkville area, get a little more of a discount than maybe with some other booking agents. Be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, so Jeff, probably the most important comment Jeff Lebby made today is that Calvin Dinkins' injury does not appear to be serious. He said, we're going to be careful with him. We think he's got a good chance to travel with us, and it'll be a game-time decision. Said he felt better yesterday and feels even better today. Guys have had treatment. That's a big relief, right? I mean, Calvin Dinkins is a guy that just seems like trouble follows him. You know, it's like he just had some bad luck. He's a very talented guy, as you guys saw on Saturday night. I thought he played really well. And it's important that we need that depth. We need our explosive players. There's a reason he's on the two deep. It's because he's good, right? And so that's probably the biggest news. But, you know, Levy was asked about a variety of things. And I asked him specifically about, hey, when do your preparations for Arizona State begin? Now, of course, playing Eastern Kentucky in week one kind of afforded the Bulldogs a chance to do some advanced scouting of Arizona State. And Coach Levy says, we've already dug into them. Sunday, we clean up the game, and then we jump right into Arizona State. I see a group at Arizona State that play with a ton of confidence, a ton of energy, a lot of excitement inside their stadium. We have a great challenge on our hands. We have to go out there and play on the West Coast, 9:30 kickoff to us. Our guys have to do an incredible job of preparing. We as coaches have to put them in positions of success. That sounds a little bit coach-speaky, but it's true. And if you've watched anything of Arizona State, you can see they appear to be an improved football team from last year. And they had the second largest student section attendance number in school history last weekend. And they're looking to break it this weekend. Coach Dillingham himself said, you know, he's going to go out there and talk to students themselves and try to get people to come break the record this way. That's pretty important too. So it's going to be a wild atmosphere. Now, it's not going to be anything that we're not used to. Maybe some younger guys, maybe not so much. But, you know, we play in the Southeastern Conference. But Arizona State has had some success over the years. It's not like it's a deal where Arizona State's just been a team out there. It's been an also-ran in the old Pac-12 days. You guys remember the Desert Swarm? That was from Arizona. And remember Jake Plummer and those guys going and shredding that great Arizona team? Yeah, these guys can play. We've talked about the running game a little bit in our recap of the game. And Labby kind of comments about this too. What were your thoughts on the run game from Saturday? I don't remember who said it, but it was a good question. Labby said hit or miss. We left a lot out there, whether it was not leveraging the block correctly, not having one more press in our rotation at running back, something different every time. The stat line yards per rush was good, but only because of a couple of explosives. So we were streaky. We need more consistency inside the run game, and that's what we're striving for this week. And here's my concern about that. Wyoming is a team that has kind of, you know, buttered their own bread over the years by running the football. And so they didn't have great success. They only had 118 yards of offense. Now, some of that, too, is because they got behind in the game and had to kind of abandon, you know, running the football as much as they normally do. But they weren't able to run, and you said, but Steve, it's a G5 team against a Power 5. I get it. But, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of new faces at Arizona State. And so I think it's going to be tough to run against these guys. Now, granted, we kind of need to run to keep them honest. But I'm eager to see if we can run. And I don't think the problem is the offensive line. I really don't. I think, number one, it's a chemistry issue. We got to build up some esprit de corps. We got to get these guys out here. The only way to really build bonds, right, true bonds, is playing together. And I don't mean in scrimmages. Because the emotional investment in a practice or a scrimmage is different. You're going out there and trying to refine your game. But the number one way to build team camaraderie is to go beat somebody else. You know, one of the things that I have learned through coaching and observing sports over the years, especially on the high school level, and it's the same in college, is how many times do you see a guy go out there that makes a play that maybe he hadn't counted on to make a play? Now, you say, hey, if he's on the field, Steve, we're needing to make a play. Yes. But maybe it's a guy down the depth chart a little bit, right? Maybe it's a guy that comes out there and then all of a sudden does something that's not expected of him. And all of a sudden, everybody on the team feels like, hey, he's one of us. We can trust him. Because there is a group within the group. And the bigger you make that group, the better your team's going to be. And so the way you build these bonds is you go out of here and it's like, hey, that guy's playing for me. That guy's playing for our team. It's not, we're not competing against each other anymore. We're going towards the same goal. So we're teammates. You know, we're not competitors. We're competing together, and I think that's what's going to happen this week. I think you're going to see a little more of that, you know. A little more that's going to come together, if that makes sense to you. And sometimes you go out there and you show guys on film, hey, you missed this block, or you missed this hole, or this should have happened, or whatever. All of that is important to understand. Now, I want to skip around, too, and talk a little bit about what Dillingham had to say. One thing I'll tell you right out of the gate, I've had a chance now to watch a couple press conferences of his. Watched the one from post-game Wyoming, and then watched what we have today. And I'll tell you, Doug, the guy that's the media relations director at Arizona State, has been incredible, incredible to work with. I love these visiting ADs or SIDs. You know, when we're the team that's on the road, sometimes it's hard to get the thing done. It really is. I mean, I'm not here complaining about my life because I love what we do, but you know, not everybody treats visiting media extremely well. They get the job done, but sometimes it's a bare minimum. Doug at Arizona State has been outstanding. Outstanding. Like, I first contacted him to apply for our credentials, and he goes, hey, I'll double back to you guys on game week. We'll get you taken care of. I get up this morning, I've already got an email from him. Already. And he's like, hey, here's what I need from you, and we'll get your parking pass down here. So, like, it's lunch on Monday, and everything is taken care of for the weekend. I don't have to worry about this. He's like, hey, we're going to leave this here, and we're going to send you a digital parking pass. I've absolutely loved it. And he sent me a copy of the video before it was publicized. And so I'm able to get my transcription together, and so we're able to get that story out pretty quickly. And we are so dependent on people that work in media relations. I can't even begin to describe it. We have some great individuals here at Mississippi State. But I just wanted to highlight Doug because it's not always like that. It's not. And so somebody does a good job, they deserve to be rewarded. Now, Dillingham asked some questions about the weekend. And I can tell you, I just kind of got the sense that he was ready to move on from the weekend. That's the tone of it. You know, he was nice and respectful, but even when there were questions asked about the weekend, he kind of found a way to redirect things. And I love that. I love that. Matter of fact, in the middle of answering another question, in his answer, he shifts to Mississippi State. And this is the first thing that I want to share with you. Dillingham says about Mississippi State, and I quote, "This is a good football team that we're about to play. Coach Jeff Lebby is one of the best offensive minds in college football. He brought over a special teams coordinator from New Mexico State, Cliff Odom. That guy was part of the best season that New Mexico State has had in a long time. They brought over a defensive coordinator, Coleman Hutzler, who was trained by Nick Saban, even though he's never called defense, and he actually has. He is from that pedigree. So you're talking about Lebby, who was from the Lane Kiffin offensive tree. You have a defensive coordinator who was from the defensive tree of Nick Saban. And you're talking about a guy who was just in New Mexico State as their other coordinator. You're talking about a really well-coached football team, and you're one that just won by 60 points. And again, that's just kind of off the cuff. I don't care who they played. You could beat the Kenny Dillinghams of Scottsdale, Arizona by 60 points, and that's impressive. We've got a tough team against us." And it's interesting, you know, to hear people kind of talk about us and about, you know, one of the things that we've had a lot of success with over the years is you guys want to know what the other teams and players and coaches are saying about us. And I think it's interesting. A lot of it's very coach speaky, right? It's true. A lot of it is very coach speaky. But I thought one of the things that Kenny Dillingham said today, of course, you know, he spent some time at Auburn, so he knows the league. I thought that Kenny Dillingham perhaps made the best statement of why players should go to the Southeastern Conference than anybody's ever made. And that may sound a little bit like hyperbole, but let me read to you a part of what he said. Somebody asked him about why the SEC is so good and why there is so much, you know, fan interest and things of that nature. And Kenny Dillingham says, you know, they're smaller towns. You know, what do you do on Saturday? There aren't many distractions other than college football. I think the culture is why those kids play so passionately down there. There is a lot of passion in their play because that's what everybody talks about. Nobody's talking about the Diamondbacks. Nobody's talking about the Suns. Nobody's talking about the Cardinals. It's Mississippi State Bulldog football. It's go time. You're the celebrity. You go to a restaurant, they know your name. I think that's the difference. It's just there's more pressure because of that in the South on kids. Not in a bad way. There are a lot of people that are very passionate about their football because it's what you do in the South that time of year. And that's what we're trying to build here. And he kind of went on and talked a little bit more about, you know, hey, we want to make this a destination. You know, Tempe needs to be an entertainment destination. You got to think, I mean, they're competing against Phoenix, right? There's so much opportunity for your entertainment dollar there in Phoenix. And so the point that I'm trying to make here is if you're selling Mississippi State, you're selling Southeastern Conference athletics. I think what Kenny Dillingham just said makes a difference. Yeah, you go to Arizona State, you're a big deal in Tempe, but you're not a big deal in Arizona. And that's not being disrespectful, because everybody out there, when given the choice, more times than not, unless you're just an Arizona State alum or super fan, you're going to go watch the Diamondbacks play. You're going to go watch the Suns play. You're going to go watch the Cardinals play. You know, you're going to have a chance to get out of that heat and go play in a cool environment. And maybe college athletics is not the big deal in that neck of the country as it is in the South. And you think about it. We don't have a pro team in Mississippi. I mean, listen, I know we got some minor league teams. I get that. But you don't even know who those players are, right? When you come to the state of Mississippi and you mentioned the name Jake Mangum, everybody knows who Jake Mangum is, whether you cheer for State or not. You know who Jake Mangum is. Today's Elijah McNamee's birthday. Happy birthday, Elijah. I've already wished him that on Twitter. When you mention the name Elijah McNamee, everybody in the state knows who Elijah McNamee is, whether you're a Southern Miss fan or an Ole Miss fan. You think Tim Elko at Ole Miss, right? And a lot of you guys didn't like him just because he played at Ole Miss, right? But you know who he is. So when you come play college athletics in Mississippi, you are the celebrity in Mississippi. As Dillingham mentioned, you go to the restaurant, people know your name. People want to get a picture made with you. You're the celebrity. You go to Phoenix, I would suggest that probably most of the fans around there have no clue who the Arizona State baseball, basketball, or football teams are, unless they're just huge super fans. Because our entertainment eyes gravitate to what we know. We grew up cheering for Mississippi State or Ole Miss and some Southern Miss. It's true. I mean, I even think about some of the great players who played at Alcorn and Jackson State. I mean, those names are royalty in my hometown. Yeah, Eddie Payton, Walter Payton, heard of them? Yeah, of course, Walter and Eddie both went on to play in the National Football League. But, you know, Joe Owen was from my hometown. There's so much of that. And I think at times that is something we miss in our recruiting pitch, right? Are you with me here? Right? And so that's something that we can sell really in Mississippi and Alabama that maybe not a lot of other people can sell. And you think about the most vicious rivalries in the Southeastern Conference and in many respects the nation, where do they exist? Mississippi and Alabama. And we talk about Michigan and Ohio State. I mean, it's not even an in-state rivalry, right? But, you know, Michigan's got a lot. Columbus has got a lot. Maybe not as much as Michigan, you know, because Detroit's got everything, right? You got the Red Wings, got the Tigers. But you go make a big play in the Egg Bowl or the Iron Bowl, you're royalty forever. I mean, C.J. Sermons, God rest his soul, was a seldom-used tight end. But when you mention the name C.J. Sermons in Mississippi State circles, automatically everybody's like, yeah, that's the Egg Bowl hero, man. He's still open, Steve. C.J. Sermons is still wide open. You let it all play out. And so I think Dillingham has a good idea of what the culture's like here. And I think sometimes it takes some fresh eyes to kind of point that out to us. You know what? Yeah, you can go and you can go play at a place where maybe football and baseball doesn't matter as much. And you know what? In a few years, they'll bring you back and they'll, you know, you go out there and you'll shake a hand or two and there'll be a few people who have you sign a program. But if you really want to be building a brand and building a legacy, you can do it right here in Mississippi. You can. And think about this. I mean, those of you that follow recruiting very closely, don't you remember those kids that left and went out of state and played against Mississippi State? Don't you remember that? Like, yeah. Do you look at them in the same light as you do the other high school athletes in Mississippi that stay in state? And let's be honest about it. I mean, it sounds kind of petty, but if given the choice, which one would you hire? You know what I'm saying? Right? And how many times have we had an out-of-state guy come here and stay? There's a bunch of those people, right? And so I share that because I think it's important. Sometimes a truism about our own program and about our own culture sometimes comes from an outsider. It's like, hey, here's what I see. And you can read everything Coach Dillingham and Coach Levy had to say over at jeanspage.com for free. And again, 75% off that off the annual subscription rate, that runs through tomorrow to Tuesday at 11 Central. That's done. 11 p.m. Central. That's done. Midnight Eastern. So you want to come be a part of that, now's the time to do it. It's the best deal we're going to offer you. And so if you're looking to think about, hey, Christmas gifts, whatever, an early Christmas gift, go ahead and take care of it. It's football season. And you're going to need to kind of keep up and follow with all that stuff. It's true. And there's a reason we're the biggest and the best. And that's because we make the biggest and best effort. And so I remind you guys too, the dude will be out next month. I was hoping this month, and let me give you an explanation. I'm going to post this on social media later. But so the printer got back with the publisher and said, hey, we got these limited edition books and it's going to take a few weeks longer to get those out to people. And I was like, absolutely not. You know, those people bought the book first. They paid more for it, and I'm not going to make them wait. And so we worked out a deal with them and had to push the production date back for everything to find a window where they could get it all done. And so the limited edition and the regular edition will all be together tentatively October 12th, tentatively. And so we'll update you as we get closer. So again, you know, we're a few weeks away from it coming out. I wanted it to be out, and that's the thing too. We're missing 3 weekends of home games that we could be signing books, and you could have your books, right? But everybody else is like, oh, Steve, this is perfect. Don't stress. You know, I do the work that I do, and all the people that work on our team work exceptionally hard. And sometimes things don't go the way we want them to. And so, again, it's a little bit later than we wanted, but there's your update on that. But you can pre-order at dutynoblebook.com, and all of my sports books are there too, as well as When the Bottom Falls. And when we go out and do our book signings and tours, all those books are available for purchase. And most bookstores, we will have Blooms of Oleander too, but when we do these independent things, we don't always have them. So to be honest with you, I forget them. But the reality of it is, you're going to want the Dude. And I've had a lot of people say, hey, well, baseball's my favorite sport. There's a ton of football in here too, and some basketball. And a lot of basketball history. We've got a whole chapter with Babe McCarthy. And I think one of the things you're going to be amazed about, we also have a letter from Babe McCarthy to Duty Noble, signed by the Babe, publishing the book for the first time ever. The only people that have ever seen that, Babe McCarthy, Duty Noble, Duty's family. And you're going to have a chance to peruse some documents that were never really intended for your eyes. It's not there's anything sinister about it or anything, but they were personal letters sent to Duty Noble. And you're going to have an opportunity to see those. So it's not just a great story. It's a great resource, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to have some copies of some items that in many respects we thought was gone forever, right? And if you hadn't done so, we're down to the very, very end of our promotion with the Bulldog Initiative for the posters. And you can go there, and it's the Bulldog Legends poster. Only a handful of those things remain. Be sure and go check that out, too. It's just a $500 donation to Bulldog Initiative, and you get a rare piece of Mississippi State baseball memorabilia. Be sure and check it out. Hey, let's get out of here. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.